We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to be talking about God's Word here in just a few moments, but we want to take an opportunity to invite you out to our Mother's Day services coming up this week. We do have with us a powerful speaker that is going to be with us. Her name is Judy Cotagnola. She's an ordained Assemblies of God minister, works in the district office as part of the women's ministry team. And I was talking to someone. I don't like to give out information and not have it exactly right. And so I wanted to verify some information with a friend of mine. And I said, she came from a pastor's family, if I remember right. Yes, she did come from a pastor's family. Her and her husband were senior pastors at a church. And due to an illness that he's been battling, they've adjusted their ministry to working out of the district office, and he's very gifted as well. We'd like to invite you out to feast on God's Word this week, and we know that it is going to be a great blessing to those who are there. So, by the way, if you happen to not be able to attend one of our services, you can catch us online. Our services are live streamed on two different platforms. One of them is Facebook. And if you log in, just Merritt Assembly of God, and it comes up there, it's live streamed. And then we also have our own channel on YouTube, and you can see some of the videos there. Not every service is live streamed, and live streaming won't get you everything that worshiping in person will. I'll just tell you that right now. You miss out on shaking people's hands or bumping people's fists or giving the patented pastoral side hug that I've got going on there. You miss out on some of the fellowship that takes place before the service and after the service. And so we pray that you do find a church home that you can worship in, get to build relationships with. Other people in this community need to hear your testimony of grace, and you need to hear the testimony of grace others have as well. So we'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is going to do this Sunday morning at 10:30. We'd also like to say thank you today to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. I got to meet them through a project at my house, but they have come out and done work for us at the church as well, and helped beautify the front of the church, and also did some work on our irrigation system that will hopefully keep us from having the rust stains on the buildings that we've had to deal with for years and years and years. So if you need somebody who will do a great job, they got lots of great reviews on Facebook. That's actually how I did. I didn't have anybody telling me who to call for landscape work when I was working on that last year, getting ready to have somebody else work on it. I don't like yard work at all. Shh, don't tell anybody. So I started looking, and I contacted some people that were mentioned, and Dan showed up and listens to the radio program. They're constantly telling me whenever I cross paths with them, hey, this is what's going on. You know, we recommend them highly. They're great people to work with, and they do a fantastic job. They came out and accomplished in a little over an hour what it would have taken me days and days to accomplish. And so I recommend them. You can call them at 321-208-2281. I believe that gets you in contact with a person by the name of Dave. 2281 and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So today we're going back to Isaiah chapter 45. We're looking at the spiritual truths that we find in God's word, because they are priceless, they're valuable, and we need them in our lives. So if you look at verse number 15, that is where we're going to begin. Actually, let me go back up to 14. That was the verse we were in yesterday, but it will provide for us some context for things later on. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you. They shall be yours. They shall walk behind you. They shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, and this was the spiritual truth we were talking about yesterday, surely God is in you, and there is no other. There is no other God. Okay? And so that is the reputation that we want to have with the people that we deal with, whether it's people inside the church, people outside of the church. We want people to recognize that the presence of God is inside of us. Now, there was something we didn't really touch on too much yesterday, and it is this part of verse number 14, and there is no other, there is no other God. You know, I am never threatened whenever somebody challenges my belief in God. And I tell you why. Because there's no one that is ever going to be able to provide a better way of life, a better source of salvation, a better person who will treat me better than God. So what the Word of God teaches me about my God is far superior to anything else that anybody has to offer. And so if somebody wants to come up, I want to share the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life with as many people as I possibly can, because I want the best thing that ever happened in my life to happen in their life as well. And that is the presence of God. There is no other God like him. So we talked a little bit about, you know, that there's no other God who can reveal. That was in Daniel chapter 2, that there is no other God who can deliver in Daniel chapter 3. But if you look down in verse number 18, it says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. So not only is there no other God like him, there is no other Lord like him. And so why, when I mention that, I do like to remind you that Jesus is not only the God who saves, but he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That speaks to his sovereignty. That speaks to his ability to speak authoritatively into our life. It speaks to his ability to send us on assignment, to have a purpose and a mission that he has for us in our life. I am the Lord, there is no other. So you'll never find a boss better than God. You'll never find anyone who can provide for you better than God. He is the self-existent one. So there is a song that I've heard recently, and it says something like this: I didn't build you up, so there's not any way that I can let you down. So now I do want you to know there, you and I can disappoint God. So I don't necessarily agree with that song in that context, but I do agree with this, that God is God all by himself. He's not God because he got elected. He's not God because of a coup or anything like that. He's God, he's Lord, because he sits on the throne. He is the Holy of Holies, and he is very good and skilled and competent at what he does. So if you look down to verse number 21, we will see a third application of this. If you remember, at one point in time, we were talking about the number of times that things were frequented in this passage. And in verse number 21, it says, and there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. So God There is no other God that is going to be more just. And so over the past few years, there has been this thing about justice, and we talked about seeking justice. There's all sorts of you know, radio programs that we did. It went on for quite a while. Let me tell you, there is not a higher standard of justice than the standard that God has. So you cannot set aside the very best that there is and hope that you are going to achieve something greater. And so if you want justice in your situation, in your finances, if you want justice in any area of your life, you need to, first of all, have a relationship with the just God. There's none other like him, okay? Not only that, but he's a savior. So there is no other God, there's no other just God, there's no other Lord, and there is no other savior. So that means that when it comes to our eternity, that salvation, there is two options that you have. One is to ask Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Or the second is to experience the consequences of not choosing option number one. You know, I've teased people through the years, and, you know, I think it was Henry Ford, you know, that back when the automobile was first becoming famous, he was notorious for only making black vehicles. And, well, you could have any color you wanted as long as it was black. And that works great from a production standpoint, but it doesn't work well for the personality profiles that we have here in America. And so there have been times that I said, you know, I went to the store and I could have anything I wanted as long as it was this one, because that was all that was on the shelf. Well, I want you to know that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And so there's not another source. There's not another source. So before you discount Christianity, before you look away from that, you need to see that there is none other. And this is a thus says the Lord statement. This is not a Bob statement. This is a God statement. You say, well, Isaiah said that. He said it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so, again, if you don't like the statement, you don't have a Bob problem, you don't have an Isaiah problem, you have a God problem. And I highly recommend you work out those God problems as early as possible, because you're not God. You're not God. So I was preaching on Easter Sunday, and I said, now, lest you think I'm perfect, I'm going to give you five reasons as to why I'm not. And I held up my right hand. There is 4.5 fingers on there, because I'm missing 2/3 of my ring finger. And I just held that up there, spread it up. And it doesn't take much for you to see my flaws. You only have to listen to one radio program to find out that I'm not an extremely refined speaker or anything like that. I'm not here for that. I'm just here not to try and impress you with how perfect I am, but how to tell you and reveal to you the greatness, the uniqueness of God. He is God Almighty. He's God all by himself. And so there is no other God but by him. So that brings us to spiritual truth number 2 here in Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 15. Truly you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together who are makers of idols. Okay, so let me just touch on that, that that thought has not concluded yet. There's still a continuation in verse number 17. But I found this particular verse interesting when I dug into the lexicon, and it says, truly you are God who hide yourself. Well, the reality is God wants everybody to know who he is. You know, when we try to hide things for kids or grandkids to find, a lot of times we hide them in plain sight. The thought of God, you know, making it difficult for us to find him was something that I was struggling with in this passage. So I went to the lexicon, I looked up the meaning of the word, and it said this: to hide as an arrow in a quiver. To hide as an arrow in a quiver. And all of a sudden, when I recognized that, I got pretty excited, because my relationship with God is not a relationship that is just there for the good times. It is a relationship that is there for the challenging times. God is the weaponry. He's the defense. He's the armaments that we have that defends us against everything that the enemy might throw our way. He's the one who says, when I send forth my word, it will accomplish its purpose. It will not return unto me void. It will not return unto me without striking the mark that I sent it forth to accomplish. And so we hear things in the word that it says, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I tell young people, I was a youth pastor before I was ever a pastor. I was an associate pastor. And I told young people this: you need to make a decision right now of how you're going to handle temptation before you ever find yourself in the position of temptation. If you wait until you're in temptation to formulate a plan, your failure to plan is a plan to fail, and then you'll end up repenting, and there will be all sorts of misery and heartache and things like that that you'll have. You need to plan ahead for success. Well, for you and I, if we want success in our life, if we want as little misery as possible in our life, we need to hide God in our hearts as an arrow in a quiver, so that when temptation comes and Satan says, well, the word says this, we can be like Jesus and says, well, the word also says this over here. Well, the word says this. Well, this is what the word says. Jesus quoted the devil three times out of the book of Deuteronomy because his heart was anchored in Jesus. The relationship with God that he has and that he wants us to have was not an hour a week type relationship. It realized this: you're in a spiritual firefight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. There is no ceasefire with the enemy. There is a battle going on for your eternity, a battle going on for your family, and you need to make sure that God is the anchor of your life. And so God will come out. You know, if you squeeze something, it's what's on the inside that's going to come out. And so I want to ask you, when the pressures of life begin to squeeze you, what comes out of you? You know, the world has plenty of things that come out of them. It comes out not just during hard times. It comes out during, comfortable times. It's called profanity. It's common. I've heard people use curse words, words that you don't find coming out of my mouth. I've heard them use words as a noun, a verb, and an adjective all in the same sentence. It's like, you're verbally lazy, aren't you? you haven't improved your vocabulary any since you were 13 years old. Come on now, you can do better than that. I want you to know you can hide God's word in your heart, and when the pressures of life happen, the profanity's not going to be coming out. The word of God's going to be coming out. Your confidence in God, the anchor of your soul. It says here, truly you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. I had this conversation one time with a person, and I told them this: Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And he already knew what verse was going to come up. I am the way, the truth, the life. So he said, you're going to base a theology on eight words. I just counted it there, eight or nine words, depending upon the translation. And I want you to know, it's not just in there once. It says he's the Savior. The people who say you're only going to do that on that little bit of collaboration, you think that's really what Jesus meant? I think Jesus said exactly what he meant. I think he meant exactly what he said. And he is God. He's the God of Israel. He's the Savior. He is the one who brings salvation. So here in verse number 16, it begins to talk about makers of idols. So if you remember, we've talked a couple of times throughout this passage about God referring to himself as the maker of Cyrus. And so it's in verse number 9 a couple of times, and it is also in verse number 11. Here, he's referring to these people who are not referencing their maker. God has not made them in their minds. They have made their own idols. And that's a problem. You know, whenever we get into the God-making business, let's put it that way, whenever we're trying to create our own gods, they are always going to be a disappointment. And listen to this. It is always going to bring confusion. It says, they shall go in confusion together. There are a lot of people who, if they're going to be confused, they want to be confused with other people. They want other people to be just as wrong as what they are. Let me tell you, I've read stories of shepherds in certain parts of the world that graze their sheep in some pretty dangerous situations. And something would spook one sheep, and one sheep would go off a cliff. And I've got an article in my office about 1,500 sheep that followed the first sheep over. Almost all of the sheep that were being kept were killed as they ran over that cliff. The only thing that saved some of them was the mound of carcasses underneath cushioned their fall, and they didn't die in the process. So, you know, that old expression we all heard when we were kids, well, if they jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge with them? Well, you know, the reality is, in America now, people do not know how to think for themselves. They are looking for somebody else to teach them how to think. God wants to teach you how to think through the Word of God. He wants to renew my mind. He wants to renew your mind. I don't need anybody else to tell me what to think. I don't need to know what the answer is before. I want to hear the Holy Spirit say, look, I'm going to teach you from the Word of God. Everybody else, everything else that is worshiped, you know, I know that we're part of this society. There's a political process, and I want to do my part. But listen, politics is not going to save America. Money's not going to save America. I'm pro-military. The military's not going to save America. You know what saves America? The same thing that has saved humanity for 2,000 years, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way of salvation. He doesn't bring confusion. He brings clarity. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. He is not the God of disorder. He is the God of order. And so you don't want that in your life. So, verse number 17, what's the other option? But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. So again, that's Isaiah 45, verse number 17. So while there's all of these people making up things to worship instead of worshiping the one who created them, who orders their steps, who works perfection in their life, Israel, the people of God, the princes of God, the princesses of God, they shall be saved by the Lord. And it says this, with an everlasting salvation. salvation. So not too long ago, my wife and I, we were sitting in our living room. We were having a conversation with a family member, and I looked down, and I saw an ad, and I was like, oh, man, we missed this ad. We kind of schedule some of our shopping around when a particular promotion comes up. And she looked at it real close, and she said, this is an old ad. This expired several weeks ago, and we just hadn't thrown the ad away. It's like, all of a sudden, I felt bad because I knew we didn't miss that ad. I knew we had actually shopped at that. We just happened to have an ad that we had brought home from the grocery store. I tell you this, the benefits of salvation don't have an expiration date for believers. But I will tell you this, you want to start experiencing the benefits of salvation as early as you possibly can. Your life is not better saying, not so, Lord. Peter was notorious for saying, not so, Lord. Those two statements don't go together. Telling God no puts you in the position of being God, and instead of God being in the position of God. Saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to use my free will that you gave me to come into alignment with your plan. That's what you want to do. So you want to begin to exercise or benefit from the rewards of being saved as early as possible. You want to teach your kids as early as possible. Had a parent one time that told me this, I'm not going to teach my children anything about any God. I want them to make their own decision. And my response was, then you are derelict in your duty according to God's word, because God's word says you're supposed to train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So you say, kind of harsh, aren't you? It's like, well, the word is the word. Too many people are living outside of the word. They're experiencing spiritual confusion because they don't know the word. Man, I wonder who would be trying to sow spiritual confusion in America and keep people from knowing what God really wanted. I think that was probably demonic, not godly. And so it's a sign of spiritual immaturity, not spiritual maturity. I want you to know that you should never, ever be ashamed of your relationship with God, because there's no one more worthy of praise and worship and you living your life for than Jesus Christ. Hopefully we'll see you on Sunday. I'll be back again tomorrow. We'll see you here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.